Well, there's always a little sense of mystery behind the Farmer's Almanac. The new edition is out now, and it's been out since 1792. That book has been coming out yearly, and Tim Goodwin from the Almanac was on Evan's show yesterday, the Evan Bray show, and sounds like we're in for a fall and winter that gives a little bit of everything, and I don't know, you decide here. It sounds like we're throwing everything in.
You know, we're looking for it to be a little bit on the warmer side and wetter than normal. You know, when we're looking at winter, again, we're looking at, you know, above normal temperatures, not to say there won't be some cold times, looking really at, you know, that late November and early December time for those coldest periods, and again, coming back in early February. Precipitation, we're looking for it to be above normal, but below normal snowfall. Again, that late November, early December, it's going to be kind of a combination of colder weather and more snowfall.
Yeah, the odd warm day, some cold weather, you know, that's how winter goes there. But they were telling Evan yesterday about an 80% accuracy rate on last year's forecast. So we'll see what happens here this year. I do know this, that by the weekend, we're back towards 27 degrees. The last weekend of summer is going to feel like summer. Fall officially arriving on Monday. And the boys of summer are into their last week of the season. And man, are the Jays doing well again, right? They're on a 6-game winning streak after pulling off a 6-5 victory against the Rays in Florida. Game 3 of that 4-gamer goes tonight. The Jays got a 5-game lead now on New York for first place in the AL East. Pretty impressive. I'm not even a baseball fan, and I'm starting to pay attention again to the Blue Jays here. I am a fan of the Edmonton Oilers, and some of you probably think, okay, enough already, Greg, but this is fresh news about Connor McDavid, courtesy of Elliot Friedman's podcast. First, what he's saying now to Elliot about signing.
I feel good. I feel, you know, focused on the year. My body feels good. I'm excited to get going, excited to get camp going and getting into the routine of things. And as far as all that other stuff goes, I'm not focused on it. It's playing is the easy part. So we're getting to the easy part here.
Okay. I'm glad to hear he's feeling good going into training camp that begins today, as a matter of fact. But has anything changed? Should we be hearing about a contract extension anytime soon?
My wife and I obviously love being here in Edmonton, and we have every intention, as I said, to win here in Edmonton. And have all the faith in the world in this 25-26 season. And beyond that, still remains to be seen. We have time. It's our decision, basically. We've earned that, and we're going to take our time with it.
God, are you killing me? Okay, then tell us. Tell us what you need to see or hear in order to sign and get this over with. Just give me something.
You know, truthfully, what do I need to see? I guess the answer is nothing. You know, all the pieces are here for 25-26. It's going to be a feeling, it's going to be, when the time's right, the moment's right, I think it'll just be a feeling. But as of right now, just excited to get the season going, really.
All right. I got to dissect that last comment. Did you catch that? He said all the pieces are here, 25-26. There it is, another reference to why he's not signed yet. If the suspense is killing you, it's in that point right there. His biggest point of resistance has been for a while now that the Oilers have a bit of an aging roster, which he believes can contend this year. He's not worried about this year. But he doesn't think it's constructed to sustain a long-term championship run. He more or less said that back in June when he told reporters, quote, if I feel that there's a good window to win here over and over again, then signing will be no problem. He is pushing the oil to get younger long-term. I don't think he's going to sign now. I kind of thought he would before the season started. Don't get me wrong. He's going to sign with the Oilers again. But this could be a lot short-termer than I anticipated. I thought maybe he'd sign, 3-4 years. And then re-sign if all the pieces were in place. But right now, I think this is going to drag on a little longer. He's really pushing the Oilers. He's going to sign. But he's not seeing enough for long-term fun here right now. CJ, AM News Time now, 7:48. Yeah, Yeah, warm temper continues here. We've got above normal temperatures coming in time for the weekend here. Getting closer, I think, for some of you farmers to get back in the fields. It was pretty soggy on the weekend. I'm not entirely sure what it's like in your area, but I'd be curious if you're back harvesting yet or still another day or two or more away at 1-877-300-7275. Fall officially arriving Monday, a little after the noon hour, 12:19. Sunday is the last day of summer, obviously. There are already corn mazes to visit outside of town, leaves to be raked, although I wait till they all come off the tree. Pumpkin spice lattes to be ordered, maple bugs to be annoyed by, sprinklers to be blown out, not to mention the fall wardrobe. Have you brought it to the forefront of the closet yet? Some probably have, but there's lots to do in these final few days of summer and getting ready for fall here, too. A lot of economists expecting our Bank of Canada to announce a cut to its key lending rate sometime within the next half hour, I would think. We'll get the word. Pretty close. After three consecutive holds at 2.75% and likely to be trimmed by a quarter point today, meaning variable mortgage rates in Canada could drop below fixed rates if the Bank of Canada were to do that today. But sounds pretty promising on that one. Tributes continue to pour in for actor Robert Redford, a legendary Hollywood star who about this time yesterday I was talking about had passed at the age of 89. His breakout role, of course, with Paul Newman and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I'll jump first. Nope. And you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim!
1969, that movie came out, and if you were to watch it now, sure, it looks like it's a movie shot in 1969, but the story and the acting, it all holds so well still. A lot of charm and good looks to Robert Redford. That didn't hurt him at all. His only ever Oscar nomination was for acting in The Sting, but he did not win. So he thought he'd try his hand at directing in the 80s. He directed Ordinary People, won Best Director, and it won Best Picture.
You know, if anybody had told you a year ago that you would have been dot, 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 well, I just didn't think I was going to see this. But I'm no less grateful.
A year later, he'd support independent filmmaking by establishing the Sundance Film Festival. And I know I kind of shared this yesterday, too, but he was asked, what's his all-time favorite movie from his entire career?
I think Butch Cassidy, because it was so much fun. In other words, I love to ride. I like doing the stunts. You know, Paul and I had a great relationship that just evolved in the making of the film. But it was so much fun. It was in country I love, getting on a horse, being an outlaw, which I've felt like most of my life.
Redford, he was a committed environmentalist, too, moving to Utah in 61 and leading efforts there to preserve the natural landscape of the state and the American West. He would die at his home there in Utah. Meryl Streep said in her tribute, "One of the lions has passed." And sort of coming off of, if you heard Sarah Bill's commentary about Robert Redford earlier, I agree. He had such style. And I hear what Meryl Streep is trying to say there, too. One of the lions has passed. We've lost a few lately. Paul Newman back in 08, Sean Connery 5 years ago, Sidney Poitier 3 years ago. Slowly, these classic actors are disappearing who embodied such a classic style, too, that reflected their taste. It wasn't like they were being dressed professionally by stylists. No, in their day, they dressed in their own way. And Robert Redford, man, he was not only a good-looking guy, but the way he dressed was what a lot of men looked towards, too. And every time I ever saw him in a jacket, he had the collar up. Did that all his life. Well, if you've begun to think, okay, maybe in the winter getaway, what should we do? Where should we drink fancy cocktails with baby umbrellas in the hot sun? Well, my next guest can help you out here with some of your decisions. He's James Bogus, CEO of the Regina Airport, joining me now with a look at some of the direct flight offerings for the winter months ahead. But first, James, I hear in your hot little hands, you've got some August numbers that you're feeling pretty good about right now. How so?
You know, we do. And I'm really pleased to share with the listeners, we just had our second month in 2025 exceeding 2019 numbers. Over 106,000 people use the Regina Airport in August, 1.6% above 2019. Totally thrilled, Greg. This is fantastic news for us. It really shows that we're getting close to really being fully recovered and growing really into the future now.
How about U.S. traffic? Do those numbers show if it was up or down with the direct flights to Minnie and, say, Denver?
You know, it is. We've had an outstanding year again, and we're up 47% year over year in trans-border traffic, and it's primarily because of these two flights. Denver has been very popular, being such a big airport to connect through, and it's been quite outstanding given everything we're still hearing about the U.S. dying down a little bit, but we're still hearing concern.
Yeah, certainly are. And one of those concerns is in Las Vegas, where they want Canadians to come. I want to know if that's one of the winter destination direct flights you have in store. So let's visit those. What are you offering this winter?
Yeah, so you know, there's been quite a change, Greg, in strategy with WestJet acquiring Sunwing. We're seeing a shift in the routes they're offering and the frequency they're offering. So typically we'll see a good slate of Mexico, we'll have Cuba, we'll of course have Dominican Republic, and we'll have the three U.S. destinations. So this year, with those connections that we now have with Minneapolis and Denver, they're actually thinning it back a bit. They're only doing Phoenix and Vegas as direct services over the winter, where you can connect every day through Minny and Denver, but where they're going to be offering two flights a week to Phoenix and one flight a week to Vegas. So basically the same as last year. And then in terms of the sun destinations, they're really focusing on Cancun and Puerto Vallarta. Going to be seeing double-digit seat increases for those two Mexico destinations, but they're not going to be offering Cuba or Puerto Plata this year as a nonstop. You're going to have to connect through Calgary or one of the major hubs if you want to check those out. So very interesting moves by WestJet and Sunwing. And remember, they're one company now, so they're just kind of consolidating their operation through YQR and actually a number of other Western Canadian airports.
So do you feel they're ignoring Regina, though? Because, that's kind of disappointing that you're getting less from them. Is it because of lack of airplanes and crew, or is it literally, as you say, a Sunwing WestJet decision?
There's actually a couple of factors. I mean, first and foremost, we got to keep in mind, Mexico is going to be going up about 14% seat capacity year over year. They're really loving the Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, and this is really out of both Saskatoon and Regina. But Greg, remember that hailstorm that you'd heard about with all that aircraft damage and even the AME lockout and strike that had occurred? They're going to be pulling out a number of aircraft from their fleet this winter. It's impacting a number of Western Canadian airports, simply meaning there's going to be a little less flying going on than typical. So that's certainly a factor. But the other factor is we've got a lot of interesting opportunities with these connections now that you can take. Having Denver, having Minny, it's going to offer a really easy route to get into a place like Florida 7 days a week as opposed to a single nonstop once a week. So a bit of a shift in strategy, but certainly the maintenance on WestJet's aircraft this winter, which we knew was coming, is definitely going to impact a little bit of capacity in a number of airports, not just Regina.
All right, James Bogus from the Regina Airport. Just to clarify before I move on, one more thing. Those direct flights that we have options presently, are they direct or are you having to go to Saskatoon from Regina to pick up people one way or the other?
Greg, I always say this. Check WestJet's website, check Sunwing's website. They'll give you the detail. Remember, schedules can change.
All right.
So the positive, sometimes for the negative, but most of these are nonstop.
You're like a politician now. I loved how you answered that.
You just got to check with the airline, my friend.
All right, James Bogus. We're hearing how WestJet flight attendants are preparing to pretty much ask for pay for all the same reasons Air Canada flight attendants were on strike for. WestJet's deal is up in December. That's pretty good leverage to have the holiday season. Does that concern you at all?
We have had a number of labor issues in recent years. All I can say is I'll be back on the show if we hear anything and we can talk more about it. Let's hope for a smooth winter and some decent winter weather.
Those August numbers still in your hand. You want to feel good. Okay, I couldn't take you there.
All right. Not yet. We'll see.
James Bogus, thanks for your time, my friend. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Living with a mortgage gets a tad easier. Some good news if you haven't heard. The variable rate mortgage from the Bank of Canada has been cut. Its key interest rate cut by a quarter point to 2.5%, breaking the streak of holds we've had. We had three in a row there, but not this morning. Quarter point to 2.5% now. Krista Freeland announced yesterday she's leaving, and her co-workers were praising her over and over as she walked out of Parliament Hill yesterday. And as they said nice things, federal conservative leader Pierre Poilievre was made aware of her departure. She's still an MP for now, but she is going to be leaving to be Canada's special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine, whatever that means. But she's not moving there. This will mean she'll have to visit, though, frequently, inevitably, I guess. We haven't got a lot of details about it, but here's Pierre Poilievre. Knowing that the budget day is now November 4th, he said this about Freeland.
I think it was that she resigned rather than introduce a $62 billion deficit. I think she said the Liberals were trying to force her to introduce a deficit of $62 billion. And she said, this is irresponsible, it is out of control, and it will cause massive inflation. And of course, that deficit went ahead anyway, and now it's even bigger. She's probably trying to get out of town and as far away as possible before this disastrous November budget comes, and I don't blame her.
Well, if there is ever one who was the protagonist left over from the Trudeau government, it would have to be her, so you can't deny her. Her leaving puts a little more distance between the old Trudeau regime for the Liberals, and perhaps that was one of the reasons it was done. Premier Scott Moe was on Vashi Capella's CTV show, and he was in Ottawa yesterday meeting with Carney. She even asked him about Freeland's departure. Here's what he said.
You know, I think I would say I wish her well in all of her endeavors, and I know that she'll bring a significant amount of effort to everything she does, and that's been my experience of working alongside Chrystia Freeland. Is there's no shortage of effort, and in finding a positive spot with whoever she's working with. So I'm sure our country will continue to be served well by her.
You can't help but think, though, Carney, who vaulted to Prime Minister largely in part of her move against Trudeau, is perhaps trying to repay the favor with this move here. Anyhow, fresh from his trip to China, our Premier Scott Moe again with Vashi, and I'm sure she'll play a little of this on her show this weekend here on CJME. And he talked about being in China, and remember, those EV tariffs were originally levied because our government wanted to work in concert with the U.S. and EU at the time, citing national security concerns for imposing the EV tariff. And Moe seems pretty confident there's some sort of path forward. He's just not sure if it'll be this year.
There's a process for that to happen. And so what I would hope for and what we discussed today was what opportunity do we have for federal ministers and maybe the parliamentary secretary, Cody Bloise, as well, to either return to China or to continue with the engagement and keep the momentum going that occurred here this past week with the time that we spent on the ground in China. But a lot of engagement needs to happen, whether it's industry to industry, federal government, minister to minister. And I'm confident that the federal ministers that I spoke to today understand that and are putting that into their schedule in the immediate future.
Sounds like it's no easy task to just say, okay, to support our canola again, just take that tariff away. It's not going to be easy. CJME News Time now is 8:27.